Welcome to the Leaders Toolkit Podcast, episode 31.
Hi there, I'm Tracy, the Director of Catalyst Support here at Giant. Are you a team leader in an industry or organization? No matter the size of your company or the level of your leadership role, this podcast is tailor-made for you. Here's the thing, being great at your job doesn't automatically make you a great people leader. It's a whole different skill set. The skills that brought you success in your field might not have covered team leadership, but don't worry, that's where this podcast comes in. If you find it challenging to manage tasks, time, conflict, or motivation within your team, we're here to lend a helping hand. Our mission is to equip team leaders like you with the necessary skills to excel in the art of leading a team. Each episode is packed with concise, actionable content, including hacks, tips, tricks, tools, wisdom, and encouragement. Tune in and don't forget to share it with your fellow team leaders. Let's join forces and build healthy, high-performing teams that have the power to change the world. Together, we'll empower you to become a team leader worth following. Well, hello, listeners. I had such a great time over the last couple of episodes with Scott Waldron. I hope you were able to listen to those two episodes and that you enjoyed or you learned something new about the influence model, the walls of self-preservation, all of the conversation around that. I know it was helpful for me to get Scott's perspective on that. So I hope that was useful to you. We're going to keep rolling because we have a lot more tools that we want to introduce you to, a lot more just information about leadership. So those of you who are out there leading a team, whether it's a team of two or three, or you've got a massive organization, we have another really foundational tool for us here at Giant. And I thought no one better to introduce this tool to you than the amazing Dan Fry. Hello, Dan.
Hello, Tracy Rader. How are you?
I'm pretty good.
Where are you at? My ego.
Where are you at in the world?
Well, right now I'm in Atlanta, Georgia, where I have spent all of my Giant career. My wife and I moved to Greenville, South Carolina about 3 months ago. So I'm living out of Atlanta for the first time in 55 years, which is the first time ever now. But I'm always back in Atlanta because that's where all my business is.
Love it. Well, that's a new phase of life, a new town. That's amazing.
Yeah. It's all good. It's all
That's
fun.
That's cool. Well, tell these Tell these fine folks just about what you do, what kind of clients you work with. Yeah. What's your expertise in?
I'm one of the OGs, if anybody out there has ever heard that term as we talk about the Giant people. So I was one of the first 10 when Jeremy and Steve had this idea in 2013. I said, I want in. So I've been doing it for, I like to think, 12 years now. Feels like I was learning it for a long time before I started actually implementing. But as my business kind of evolved, I kind of started to zone in on a couple things. And I think the majority of where I work now is in regulated utilities, primarily electrical utilities. For some reason, I found myself in that space. And as a creative voice, it's kind of funny because 95% of my clients are my fifth voice as guardians. So that's mainly where I play. And I've kind of done a lot of innovating over 10 to 12 years. Really what was a huge catalyst for me and the growth of my business was when Giant invented and launched Accelerate. That's probably been 7 years ago now. For this creative, it enabled me to kind of take what we do and put it in a box and go sell it. But then my experience through doing Accelerate helped me learn kind of a process that I innovated out of Accelerate that is now my go-to-market strategy. So it's applying self-awareness to effective communication with the objective of building and sustaining trust in the workplace. So that's kind of how I go to market. And my story is told mostly in the utility space.
Nice. Okay, listeners, what Dan is referring to, Accelerate, is what we now call Five Voices for Teams, basically. It's an experience for teams to get healthy. And so because of Dan's expertise in that area, I thought no one better to explain this foundational tool that we affectionately call the flywheel. You can explain probably, Dan, why we call it that, but will you introduce us to the Maximizing Team Performance tool and why it's important?
Yeah, it's great because when we originally came out with Accelerate, it was built around this wheel, right? So we would say that these five areas of maximizing team performances, or I guess the way I would say it to a prospective client is you should be as effective as humanly possible in each of those five areas. To the degree that you are is usually to the degree that you are performing at a high level. And so the content back in the day would kind of take each piece of that pie and build it into a process from which we would help teams maximize their team performance. And now that is involved, as you said, Tracy, into five voices for teams. What I like about this flywheel is that I do believe the order in which we have it is usually the order in which if you're going to build it, you have to go. And if you're struggling in one of those areas, any one of the pieces of the pie, root cause analysis usually goes right back to square one, which is communication. So the maximizing team performance actually takes a lot of the human elements that we are trying to help people improve through Five Voices for Teams and give them a process and a language from which to do that.
Love it. I love how you mentioned it as a pie. I've really actually never thought of it in that way. So I'm going to put the visual tool in the show notes so that those of you who are listening can understand it and get the visual of it. But tell us, go ahead, go to the beginning and as if we've never heard this before, tell us the components of that pie.
So stage one, like the first piece of the pie, if you weren't looking at it and you're listening while you're driving or something, envision a piece of the pie and the main slice is on the top of the pie, almost sitting at 12 o'clock. That is communication. And what we would say, or what I would say, I don't like to say we, because maybe you would say it differently. But what I always say is communication is usually where we are winning big or losing big. And many times we're losing big and not realizing it is due to communication. So to the degree that we are effective at communicating is usually to the degree that we go to the second piece of the pie. Now, the second piece of the pie, if you're not looking at it right now, would be at like 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock on the pie. that's relationship. And sometimes I like to say relationship is also trust. So, you know, to have an effective, healthy working relationship, you might consider to what degree can I do that if I don't communicate effectively? Well, many times the people that I work with, clients that I have, they don't realize that the human element is rooted in poor communication. And many times people think poor communication is I'm saying something the wrong way. But, you know, communication has a lot of components to it. There's verbal, nonverbal, written, behavioral. I mean, so all of us communicate something all the time, regardless of whether we're running our mouth or not. And to the degree that we do that well is to the degree that we make relationships strong. And so the resource that we use when it comes to communication is the five voices, as everybody on this podcast would know, it's five voices for teams. And I like to say, at least to my clients, there's two parts, two ways in which you should use five voices. One, you should use it as a mirror in terms of how you see yourself. And you, I'm sure if you've done it out there, you probably work with your clients to kind of say, okay, I'm going to rank myself in an order of 1 to 5 in terms of my effectiveness or my comfort level, most to least comfortable. But I have always encouraged my clients to also say, if you were thinking about the order in which people probably view you, is it the same order? And so looking at it that way kind of makes people think, all right, this is my comfort zone, but what do I communicate outside my comfort zone and how do people receive me? Because then I can take that mentality and pull it into, all right, to what degree is it actually building effective working relationships? So, Trace, I'm going to pause for a second, let you add a little color or clarify anything I'm saying.
No, I think you're super clear. I mean, just because I say when I took the assessment, I've taken it probably 30 times. Every single time I come out as a guardian, first voice, second voice, pioneer. That might be me answering the questions according to my version of myself, right? But Dan, you may I don't know. I'll ask you, do you experience me as a Guardian Pioneer?
I do.
Okay.
I do.
Yeah. And some people will say to me, sometimes more Guardian Nurture. And so that's just their experience. I can't really argue with that. That's their experience of me. And I can play a Guardian Nurture. But I think at my... Wait, go ahead, Dan. You're going to say
I'll give something. You a little sprinkle on that, though.
Yeah.
Because, Tracy, I think about the first time I met you. So I established Guardian Pioneer back from the first time I met you. Now, if I want to think about the experiences I've had with you since I've really gotten to know you, I could see Guardian Nurture as well, right? You are highly relational. You are highly engaging. You are highly supportive. But I also firmly believe that there is a spice in you that when that pioneer has to be executed, you do it at a high level. And that's why I believe you're Guardian Pioneer. But if anybody ever said, hey, you know what? I see Tracy Moore's Guardian 1 Nurture 2, I'd say I totally get that.
Yeah, yeah. And just so we don't spend way too much time on the communication piece of the pie, I would say this. I think of this tool as almost like building a house. It's like you have to have a firm foundation, right? You have to pour the concrete. And to me, communication is the concrete. If you don't get that first, the other pieces of this pie are not going to go as they should.
100%.
Do you agree?
Totally. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay,
no question. And so from a skill standpoint, I use five voices for myself to the extent that I can is I have to be able to pivot effectively toward any of the other five or other four as a creative. Because that's the only way I'm going to build an effective working relationship. And for the business that I do, if I can't build an effective working relationship, I can't do my job. But the clients that I work with to keep going on the pie then, if those two things aren't healthy, I mean, think about it. If we can't communicate effectively with each other and we don't necessarily believe our working relationship is as good as it could be, this is a hypothetical, then how the heck would we ever get aligned?
Mm-hmm.
And this is really, so some of the clients that I've been working with for over a decade, alignment is where we are now really starting to hone in on. Now, there are some teams I started working with in 2018, 2019. We have literally spent 6 years on communication and trust or communication relationships. And we are just now moving into alignment. But we will never leave communication relationship. We will intertwine that as we start to hammer on alignment. And the tool we use inside Giant that kind of goes with maximizing team performance is the Org Clarity tool that goes everywhere from vision, mission, values down to leadership, structure, strategy, and tactical behavior every day. So to be able to have effective aligning conversations in each of those areas, we better have good relationships. We can be open, honest, and transparent, effectively execute support and challenge, which means we have to know how we come across through communication.
So good. Okay, let's do this. We're going to have a quick message. Going to come back after that. And keep going, because I know you said communication, if you were thinking about it visually, is about 12 o'clock. Relationships, 2 or 3 o'clock. You just mentioned alignment. So we'll be right back, you all. Let's dig further into this. Okay. Okay, welcome back. We have Dan Fry here, and we're talking through what we affectionately call the flywheel.
Maximizing performance. Flywheel. Exactly.
Maximizing team performance is the official name. The flywheel is kind of what we talk about it here. And sometimes we say that and we forget that people in our world don't know what that means. And so it is called the maximizing team performance wheel. This is really goofy, Dan, but you know what I think about when I see this tool? When I was a little girl, I'd go to my grandmother's house and she loved to watch The Price is Right. I know. And the big wheel.
I totally see that.
Yeah.
I totally see that.
What is it? The Showcase Showdown? And someone would reach way up there on that wheel, big wheel, and push it down. And it would go like, because it's got these tickers on it and it would go fast. And I think about this because if you've never worked in a team that can do stuff, like can really knock out stuff and have a lot of fun doing it, when you feel that synergy on a team, if you've never felt that and you finally get inserted into a team like that and you get to be part of that, it feels like The Price is Right to me. Like it is like the Showcase Showdown.
And now this analogy breaks down because eventually on the showcase showdown, the wheel stops turning, right? And what you want in a team is just to keep going with that synergy. And like you said, if you don't have that high trust, the communication relationships, you don't get that synergy and it is hard to align. So keep going. You said 12 o'clock up there is like communication, 2 or 3 o'clock is relationships. Then we've got alignment.
Was it 4 or 5-ish? Or almost from 4 to 6 was alignment. Yes. And then if we're going to go from 6 to 8, now we're getting into execution. But I have found, and this is where like when I first saw this visual, it wasn't as impactful to me as it is now because, you know, if a team is not executing effectively, it's usually just work backwards through the process. A lot of times, failure to execute effectively means we're not aligned. We're working on the wrong things, or we have gaps, or we have gray areas. Well, why is that? Is there a possibility that you didn't have enough trust to voice certain opinions when they should have been voiced, or to actually speak up or call out or criticize? I have just found in my experience, a lot of times that human element was in the way and it caused misalignment, and now misalignment is causing poor execution.
Yes.
So, you know, that's the 6 to 8 part of the pie. Like executing effectively is going to require being aligned. Being aligned is going to require healthy, effective working relationships. Healthy, effective working relationships are going to require healthy, effective communication. So the last piece of the pie going from 9 to 12 is capacity. So that's the first piece. And just so in case someone's driving, you can hear it all again. First piece was communication. Second piece, relationship. Third piece, alignment. Fourth piece, execution. The final piece is capacity. Now, capacity, I find, is to what degree do we have work-life balance, or to what degree is what we have to do evenly distributed across the team? I work with way too many teams where certain people are doing, it's like 80-20. 80% of the work is done by 20% of the people. And so, you know, some are burnt out, some don't have enough work. It's like, how don't you all see this? And then you wonder why you're not executing at the level you want. But why is that the case? And it falls all the way back around. It's like, this is usually the source of root cause analysis. It will go all the way back to communication. But capacity, when I find somebody that is in a healthy capacity, it's almost like personal alignment and work alignment is lined up. Who I am, what I'm good at, what I do is where they have me in the business. And I'm in the quote, right seat on the bus. When somebody does that, you see energy, you see capacity to work longer hours and actually not have a problem because they're into what they do. They don't mind Monday mornings because they like what they do. Like I've always had my past, I live by the Sunday night rule. If I ever dreaded Sunday night, I knew I needed to make a change because of what I had to go do on Monday. So, you know, people that are in a healthy working capacity usually have the ability execute at a higher level and work harder and longer. So this flywheel allows us to measure our teams in each of the areas to see, is anything ever off and where might it be off? And I have found from team performance assessments that wherever it may be off, just work backwards to figure out where the problem is.
That's so good. Yeah. Okay, I want to talk about the team performance assessment, but real quick, this, by the way, you all, is not meant to, you know, grab every drop of life out of your employees. This is not, when we talk about capacity, it doesn't mean wear your people out to the highest levels every single week to wear them out. That's not what it is. It's like Dan is saying, that it's a healthy balance of working hard in your, what we call our 70. We covered that tool in a previous episode. Doing what you love, having everybody in their right spots so that you can really get the work done that you need to get done. It doesn't mean wearing your people out to the max, right?
Exactly. Totally agree.
Yeah. So you mentioned the team performance assessment. I think we've probably mentioned that here before, but tell us about that. Where does someone take it? Why would they take it? What's the purpose of that?
Well, I'll just put it into my own. Like, I'm not saying the way I go about it would be what everybody should do. But typically, if I finish one of the programs that I do, I finish with, okay, let's go ahead and take a check on where you are. I like to say the team performance assessment's almost like taking a cholesterol check mm-hmm. on the health of the team, right? And we look for spikes of like, well, a spike would be high cholesterol, but on team performance, if it's a low number, that's the spike. And it, what I have said, like when I use the team performance assessment with my teams, I'm like, look, this is not some sort of scientific thing that absolutely exposes the issue. This is built to help a leader see what they may not have seen otherwise. And if I was the leader, and this is what I tell my clients, I would then, one, pull out the questions from the team performance assessment. Observe the high points and the low points. Think about it as the leader, but then share the results with your team and ask your team to come up with 3 to 5 of the questions where there might have been a number. And I even said it doesn't have to be a low number. Like sometimes I've had my clients say, that's a really low number, but the relevance of that question isn't really specific to what we do. And I'm like, well, then don't use it. Mm-hmm. I've had teams be in the 70s before and say, well, if we could take that number and get it to 80, it would have a huge impact on our team. I'm like, great, it's your team. Great way to use the data. So I like to tell the leader, look at the data yourself first, then share it with your team and have a collaborative dialogue around where should we drive a higher number? And if we drove it, can we all align around what impact that might have on the team? And once we're aligned, let's go do it. And then we can pull tools from the giant toolkit to help them execute.
Mm. Yeah, that's great.
That's the way I use it.
I love that. I mean, you can start before, like if you're working with a client, you can give it to them toward the beginning to get a baseline of where they're starting. And then when you do a program or whatever it is you're going to present to them or train them on, then do it later just to see how it's gone. And just so you all know, because you may not be able to picture this assessment fully, but it is basically going to give you results, a really nice sheet of results that it's going to talk about what the team performance is. It's going to give your team's overall results in percentages. And it's literally going to say in communication, here's our percentage. In relationships, here's where we're at. In alignment, here's where we're at, and so on. And then it'll show you your top scores, and it'll show you some of your bottom scores so that you can really dig in with your team and discuss and go, where do we go from here? And it's great. So thanks.
Totally agree. I recommend they do it quarterly.
Quarterly.
Mm-hmm. At a minimum. At least quarterly, but at a minimum, absolute minimum, twice a year.
That's great.
Because it puts a measurable around the stuff that was previously or likely not measurable.
Yeah. Yeah. And for you as a consultant, it gives you a place to, okay, this is where we're going to work. This is where we're going.
No question.
Okay. Yep. Yeah. Well, this has been great, Dan. This is just a very wide overview, right? I mean, we could go really deep into this tool, which is why we have the 5 Voices for Teams, is because we literally have workshops around this very thing, around communication, relationships, alignment, execution, capacity, around relational dynamics in general. So that's a great program I know that you offer. It's like probably a year long. Is that what you do? A year long program?
There's 2 components of what I do. The thing that I sell the most is 6 months.
6 months. Okay.
But we've got a few contracts already booked for 2025. There are 12.
That's great. Yeah. Because what we're after here, if you haven't picked up on it, is true transformation. We want teams and organizations to be transformed. We don't want to come in with a one-hour workshop, one and done. That doesn't, to me, in my opinion, bring long-term change and growth within an organization. So that's why we have these longer engagements with folks. So, well, Dan,
totally.
If anybody wants to get a hold of you, maybe you don't want to be gotten a hold of. I don't know. No, I'm kidding. Would it be LinkedIn? What's the best way? If there's a team out there.
Yeah, you can hit me up on LinkedIn.
Okay.
It's Frey. It looks like Frey, but it's Fry.
Okay.
Hit me up on LinkedIn. That's a great way to do it.
Yeah. I'll put it in the show notes so people can find you easily. And thank you. We appreciate it. Thanks for all the info.
My pleasure. I'm glad to do it.
Awesome. All right, everybody. We will catch you next time. Thanks.